Gather around your speakers, hoop heads. It's NBA story time. Jamel Johnson here to spin you tales of NBA shenanigans you didn't know you needed to know. Like that time when a little startup league tried anything to be relevant, or when Ricky Davis earned himself a dumb nickname. I also love you, Ricky Davis. Catch a new tale on NBA Storytime every week, then listen to the postgame where I break it down with comedians, ballers, and what have you. Find NBA Storytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Guys, what's up? I want to take a quick second to let you guys know that our podcast is supported by Anchor. That's right. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. I'm doing this ad from my phone as we speak. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. Evidently, I can't talk. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Now back to the show.
Washed Up Walk-Ons fans, we're here, the Washed Up Walk-Ons, us three, Kevin, Drake, Tyler, to break down the Illinois game, the 19-10 win over the Fighting Illini. We're going to give you our thoughts on it, the senior day, the emotions, what we've got left on the schedule, Nebraska, and then a bowl game. What do the Washed Up Walk-Ons think? You're going to hear it right now. Sit back, relax, have a day. Let's go.
Welcome back, Washed Up Walk-Ons fans, episode 67 of the podcast. I'm in a good mood tonight, and because of that, I'm going to start the podcast off today a little bit differently than usual, and I'm going to do that by giving Kevin Ward a compliment. I don't compliment Kevin very often, but this guy is some sort of fucking wizard because he can't miss on parlays. He's hitting parlays this year at like a 50% clip, which is just absolutely absurd. Making the Washed Up Walk-Ons fans money because I know by this point you guys are riding with them, which is smart because this guy's got the solution. He's got the answers to the test, it seems like, because my guy can't miss. So I had to just bring that up right away because it's getting kind of out of hand. I started the Burn Riverside Burn thing as a joke, kind of, except for Kevin's really trying to burn that sumbitch down, which I fucking love to see. Man, I don't really have anything else. Kevin, Wizard, what do you got for us today?
Hey, man, I appreciate that. Can someone just go ahead and tell them what the people what my screen name is?
It's Waka Flocka. It's a party.
I'm sorry, I had to. I thought that was funny. I appreciate that, Drake, man. Like you said, we don't give each other too many compliments very often, but when we do, it, you know, it comes from the heart. So I appreciate that, buddy.
Yes, sir.
And you know, and I appreciate the people that tweet at me, you know, say they're riding with me. That's what it's all about. That's what makes it fun, folks. And you know, I'm happy to put a little jangle in your pocket.
There you go. A couple of those tweets rolled in this morning, or some maybe yesterday, last night or this morning. Kevin hits again. Why don't you roll back over what those three teams were and just give the people the specifics real quick.
Yeah, I'd be happy to. So we had a three-teamer, nice, short, and sweet. We had one at 11 o'clock, one at 2:30, and one late-night game. So the 11 o'clock started with Minnesota minus 13.5. That game opened up at 13, got bet up all the way to 16.5. And if you had it at 16.5, I feel sorry for you because they only won by 16. And Minnesota's still playing for that Big Ten West Championship. They're trying to go to Indy. Who knows, maybe even finagle away in the CFP. Northwestern is bad. This is the worst season they probably had under Fitzgerald. So felt pretty good about that one. They won by 16, 38-22, and honestly, I think they should have won by more. Baylor minus 5.5 versus Texas. Baylor's defense shut them down. Baylor, you know, is putting some defense in the Big 12. So, they covered that one. I forget the final score. I think they won by like at least three touchdowns. And then last but certainly not least, the Utah Utes versus Arizona Wildcats. Are they the Wildcats out there?
Yeah, that's right.
Utah minus 22.5. They end up winning, I think, 35-7, covering comfortably. That's a three-teamer, folks. That's what it pays. It pays out roughly, what the hell is that? 5-1. So yeah, it's a modest little parlay. Put a smile on your face. So Riozio rolling with me. I appreciate it. We'll have another one locked and loaded for next week.
Maybe in the off season we get awards winners, its own Instagram account, and we just start throwing those up every week or so.
We should have the Washed Up Walk-Ons winners, and we can do it from all different like genres of sports betting, because I'm a big MMA guy. You know, I watch a ton of MMA. We could throw some of those in there. You know, we could have a little fun.
I suppose we could just throw it up on the WUW Instagram account.
Sure. I mean, you can go ahead and do that. You do know MMA, Kluve. I don't know what sports you follow outside of football. And
I'm decent at basketball, but otherwise,
yeah, like I wouldn't know the first thing about betting basketball or I mean maybe MLB.
My brothers are insane at MLB. A short story about basketball. I actually, over one of our spring breaks, we always got that week at home before spring ball. And my brother and I took just a fun $50 all the way up to like $250 in a matter of just a couple days, making like $5 bets. And we were just hitting hard on the NCAA tournament because that's about the time that's rolling around.
Oh, and man, sports betting NCAA tournament in Iowa this year is going to be off the wall.
Yeah, and then when I left, he had obviously full reign of what bets were going in, and he went straight down the shitter. So I felt like I was a good – when we were making decisions together, we were actually hitting pretty decent. But, yeah, we'll start throwing those up. From now on, I'll start making a graphic. I'll figure out a nice little way to put that together. Oh, shit.
And now we're starting to get a little bit official.
Yeah, we'll throw that up there. Yeah, why not? Let's see. Illinois. Senior day. Hawks walk away with a 19-10 victory over the Fighting Illini, send Illinois home, and ruin their long shot at the Big Ten championship. Wasn't going to happen because the other stuff didn't happen anyway. Because Northwestern is really bad. I have a question, actually, before we even get into the important stuff. I'm just curious what you guys think. How long does it take and what kind of results are necessary to keep Fitzgerald out of the hot seat? Because a season like this, bad, real bad. If they don't go to a bowl game next year, are they looking for a new coach?
No. Just because of how quick of a trigger everybody has these days and how much of a what can you do for me now type thing it is in football these days. If you don't win, you're fired immediately. It might be quick, but I don't know. For what he's done for that program, I mean, he took them to a Big Ten championship. Like Northwestern,
that's what I'm saying.
They've always been a doormat, and honestly – under Fitzgerald, they've been a respectable team, and this year they're not. But I mean, in 2012, we weren't either. So, like, we've had those, or we've seen those types of years happen in our program even. I don't really know how you can fire a guy that's had such long-lasting success, because Nebraska did it, and Bo Pelini got the last laugh on that one.
So, me and my father had this conversation, and my brothers as well, and we came to the conclusion that Coach Fitz probably has the safest coaching job in the entire country. He played there. He was an assistant there for a while before he took over the head man job, I think like in 2008 or so. So he's already been there for over a decade. And you got to think about where he's coaching at Northwestern, okay? It's the smallest school in the Big Ten. Yep. And they pride themselves on academics more so than athletics. And so
for sure,
they get all of their money through donors from, you know, people who have gone on and they want to see a well-run, clean program that flourishes academically. So, I mean, they never really got their money for putting asses in the seats, even when they were good teams. I mean, they had a hard time, you know, getting a full stadium. So, I mean, and I just refused. I don't think they set a bar very high there. So I think if Fitz went 6-6 for the rest of his career, I don't think he would possibly get fired. I mean, he'd have to go like on a 3-year spell of performing pretty badly to lose that. In my opinion, that's the conclusion that me and my brothers came to.
Yeah, I definitely qualified. You know, your one brother played there, and you guys kind of grew up closer to that situation in Chicago, and yeah, I think so. You think maybe 3 years in a row like this, which is just very unlikely. But that would maybe do it.
I mean, if he goes 2-10 3 years in a row, even then it's hard to justify keeping him around.
But, right.
You know, he's had success there for a long time. You know, he's down year every now and then. He has a really good year every now and then. But you know, he runs a clean program, and they're competitive. So
that's why they're respectable. I mean, they went through some tough stuff this year, some key injuries that kind of held them back. But yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's talking about Fitz on the hot seat for at least another year and a half if they continue to play like this, you know.
Sure.
At least.
So like I said, Hawks pull it out 19-10, kind of not an exciting game. I don't know if Iowa, Illinois ever is one. Beforehand, Bo Bauer sent a text, I guess it was a snap message to the group and asked, or I guess we were talking about betting on the Hawks line. And it finished at what, 16 and a half yesterday?
Yeah, she climbed her way up there to around 16 and a half. Depends where you're looking at, but yeah.
I personally, and I said this in the group, I said Illinois covers that.
I 100% agreed with you. I refuse to say it. Yeah, Illinois is a solid team, man. They're going to be 7-5 after they beat Northwestern next week. They're going to go to a bowl game. They are much improved over the course of the year. So, I mean, you know, 16.5, I was asking a lot.
It's a lot of points in any game, and just three factors. You know, it's later in the year. Closer games tend to happen later in the year. It gets colder later in the year, which is kind of one of the factors in lower scoring games in general. And just the way Iowa's offense has performed this year, those three just kind of led me to believe that it's just like, and Illinois, like you said, being a little bit better. Drake refused to believe it, but they hung around for a little bit, they did
hold their own, man. And our offense shot itself in the foot a couple times. Nate didn't look great some of the time, and Illinois showed up and made some plays some of the time. So they were definitely a more formidable opponent than I gave them credit for, than I was even willing to give them credit for. But hey, man, a win's a win.
Win is a win.
So yeah,
let's start with Nate Stanley. You got something?
No, I was just gonna say good job on calling the plus 16.5. But I would never bet against the Hawks or on Nebraska or on Iowa State. It's just
never three things Iowa I can't State, do.
Yeah, Iowa State's a definite life fade because they just seem to figure out how to fuck it off every time.
I mean, Nebraska was only favored by 4 points, and I'm like, you know what? If it was any other team that I didn't hate, you know, I would have hammered it because they won by like 45. Because Maryland sucks.
That was a weird game.
But I refused to put money on them. Refused it. Couldn't do it. Anyway, go back to your point, Kluwer. You were actually talking about
We'll talk a little about the Huskers at the end of this one because that's the week we're rolling into here. But Nate Stanley, Drake mentioned it, didn't play his best game, although I do think they mentioned he threw for his season high this game with like 310 yards or something around there. Dude has an absolute, and I tweeted it, he's got a sniper rifle on his right shoulder.
I said that he put a little too much gunpowder in the shotgun shells on Saturday morning, and he was just letting that sumbitch fly. I think he was overcompensating for the wind. I don't know. That's just a guess. But a
couple of those throws across the middle, deep in that 20 to 25-yard range, just soared. One of them got picked off. A few others were just not even close to catchable. I'm not going to say.
Dropped some absolute dimes.
Right, and I think that's where the confusion comes as fans. A lot of times you see him make, and for example, one of those throws, maybe one of his cleanest throws I've ever seen yesterday, just absolutely thread the needle between two Illinois defenders to
weeding on the cross.
Yeah, weeding on a crossing route. Unbelievable. I don't know how it looked in person, but on TV, maybe the best throw I've ever seen in my life.
And let's drop down to our knees and praise him for evading the sack, rolling left, and putting a ball on Amir's hands in tight coverage. I mean, that is literally a SportsCenter top 10 play, and he just made it look easy. No big deal.
They called him Big Ben on TV, or they compared
him to... No, that's not Big Ben. That's Big Dick Nathan.
Hey, guys. Yep, it's me again. Got to interrupt the episode real quick to talk to you guys about Spotify, one of the sponsors of this podcast. On Spotify, you can listen to all your favorite artists and podcasts in one place for free. You don't even need a premium account. Spotify has a huge catalog of podcasts on every topic, including the one you're listening to right now. Yeah, we're on Spotify. I don't know how we did that, but pretty cool. Other things you can do on Spotify is follow your favorite podcast so you never miss an episode. Premium users can download episodes to listen to offline wherever you are, and you can easily share what you're listening to with your friends on Instagram. If you haven't done so already, be sure to download the Spotify app. Search for Washed Up Walk-Ons on Spotify or browse podcasts in the Your Library tab. Also, make sure to follow us so that you never miss an episode of the Washed Up Walk-Ons.
And put respect on BD Nathan's name.
One of the fans on Twitter said that they can't wait for us to have Nate on and for you to introduce him as Big Dick Nate.
And if I can get Nate to come on our podcast, which I'm going to try and do, I'll definitely sure. let him know that he's the hog.
Yeah. And he'll brush it off. He won't even acknowledge it, but that's just the way he is. But yeah, anyway, he makes some of these insane throws, some of these throws that scouts and, you know, the analysts look at and you're like, that is an NFL throw. Not a lot of guys in the country can make that throw. Not a lot of guys in the country even have the arm strength to attempt that throw on a lot of these. And then he has these other throws that look like I tweeted he took too much pre-workout or, you know, it almost looks like it's some of the first throws that he's ever made. And he looks almost like scared or concerned in the pocket. So it's weird. But got the job done. You said it wins a win. Laporta
absolute stud.
Kid's doing really good things on offense. Just one of the many young guys, especially on the offensive side of the ball, that has been helping out huge for the Hawks. Love
to see. He
runs
way too good of routes to be a freshman. I don't get it. I've never
when he catches the ball, he is so open.
Yeah,
like. I don't know. He's nice to have as a threat. I know that. Is he a wide receiver? Or is he a tight end? What is he?
He's definitely a tight end. He runs tight end routes.
Okay. I think at one point someone called him a wide receiver. He was listed as a wide receiver, but he has a body of a tight end, and he runs the routes that, you know, match that. Amir, obviously doing his thing. It sucks not having Brandon Smith, because he's obviously a weapon, but Amir Smith-Marset has been carrying the load. Dude is just, he's just reliable, and he's so smooth on his cuts, and he's so fast. He's a weapon. Nico is just, he's our Julian Edelman, or our, you know, our Eric Decker. He just is there. He's our Nick Easley. He's there to get it. Really awesome play by Nate. Kind of got stood in there and took a hit, but threw one to Nico early in the game for a cool completion. A lot of weapons. It's just sometimes we struggle. And what this ended up with is us kicking 6 field goals yesterday, I believe. 6 field goals, yeah. Keith Duncan, 4 for 6.
Total stud.
Yeah, for those listening, I'm going to do a little special teams breakdown here. The one that doinked off the post, absolutely nothing Keith can do about that. It was a mid kick. The ball is in the air and the wind shifted mid air. Kid kicked it right down the middle and just caught a gust that you can't just anticipate, and it pushed it and doinked it. You could see it kind of take the life out of him when he missed it. He's like, oh no. Second kick was bad. Kind of a 3-man mishap on that one. Snap wasn't great. Laces were in a really bad spot where, even if they aren't great, a lot of the times the holder can feel it in his hands where they're at, and he knows which way to spin it. Laces ended up right in the spot where you don't feel any laces in either your hand, so you have no idea which way to spin it. And so then the hold was a little bit late. Keith saw that, had to adjust, and the spin was a little late. And then
I'll tell you what, boys, the chess game that you nerds play with this goddamn snap, hold, kick thing is out of control.
Yeah, so the laces make the hold a little bit off. The hold makes the spin of the laces a little bit off. And then Keith has to delay his leg swing. And then you factor in a day where it's cold enough to affect the kind of the compression on a football. They said it was about mid-40s, which is definitely low enough to affect that. And you just get a toe ball, which is what happened, pushed it, and kind of just, it's just one of those shitty kicks. So 4 for 6, definitely still in the running for the Groza. I think he's now 26 of 31. I'm not going to give anything away, but I want to give a pre-shout out to my boy KD3. Congrats, buddy. If you listen to this, people will know once it comes out. But
and I hope that if you win the Groza, the after party is as good as the after party after Michigan.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool.
It won't be, but I hope it is.
It wouldn't be. Anyway, good day out of him. Keith Duncan, 12 points. I mean, we scored 19 points. He got 12 of them. They've been doing it all year. Michael Sleep Dalton been hitting big-time punts all year, even in the cold. And once again, the defense, massive. They just do what they do. Kev, you want to talk about the defense? Drake, your thoughts on the defense?
Go ahead, Kev. Boys, I can't really contribute any you know, insight into this game. I wasn't able to watch it as
Oh, you were gone.
I was gone, yeah.
You were out in New York, huh?
I had to go out to New York for work, so this was the first Iowa football game I haven't been able to either be at or watch on TV since the Purdue game of 2012.
Wow.
I was very anxious during when I was at work. Let's put it that way.
Damn. Well,
so, I can really only talk to, you know, the team steps. I'm looking here at my phone. We didn't run the ball great. We didn't stop the run very well. That's kind of concerning, but, you know, we had three turnovers and we stopped them well on third down. That's good. I saw one highlight of a safety blitz that I wish we had back when I was playing because I was
so delicious. Sick as
fuck. And that's pretty much all the insight I can give to you. So I'm sorry, folks.
All right, then Drake, we'll start with that double safety blitz. How just tasty was that one?
Dude, I love when Coach Parker calls blitzes. I'm a blitz guy. He loves to just have Coach Wallace tap his wrist or tap his fucking bald head and go one. just play tempo one over and over again until the goddamn cows come home. Phil loves to do that shit. But boy, if you mix it up and throw in a little double safety fire zone in there. Yeah.
That's how it made me feel. The safeties kind of crept out of that right side of the TV screen. And all of a sudden, what?
They timed it up really well. It was
oh, just perfect. Jack right up the middle. You got, and he flushes him out. Gino almost over pursues, but, you know, catches the leg of the quarterback who can, you know, like, props to that quarterback. Very mobile guy.
He was giving us some fits. I was getting a little anxious watching that guy run all over the place.
He honestly was,
but you know,
a bigger issue than their running game.
You know what? It's great practice for next week because we're going to see the exact same style of offense next week.
True.
Yep. Just one of the better defensive calls of the game. AJ caused havoc again for a second straight week. Chauncey got his hand on a ball or two. Evans kid, young guy, he's playing out of his mind. Him and Laporta are kind of these silent freshman killers. It's so great to see. And
I don't know how you can come in as a freshman and play defensive end. I have no idea how you can be that physically developed that you can beat these dudes who have been in Division I programs for a while. It doesn't make any sense.
He's part of our speed rush package. I saw a tweet that AJ in an interview said that Evans has like 4 sacks in 22 snaps.
Oh my!
It's like something absurd. So that's incredible. Like, that's so exciting for the future of the program. And can't wait to see how all these young guys develop. But that's kind of the summary of the game. We held them off. We stopped them. Got real lucky at the end. Gino survived a potential late hit targeting call.
You could tell he was trying to turn away from it, though. Like, you could see where his eyes were going, and they were, like, up and away. He wasn't trying to, like, go through the guy.
Yeah. And I think that's why we were lucky it wasn't called on the field, because I don't believe it would have been reversed. But because it wasn't, they didn't really have enough to bring it back on him. So we get him. He's good. No suspension for the first half next week.
He hit the eject button on the quarterback's brain.
Right. And so then that put him out, and it brought in their backup quarterback, I think, for a play or two. So very similar to when we, you know, finished the game against Minnesota. So they kind of ran out of time at the end there, and it wasn't going to matter because we were up 2 scores anyway. And time just kind of ran out on Illinois. They just didn't have enough against our defense. It's the 7th game out of 8 Big Ten games this year where – or maybe 6 out of 7, where the opposing Big Ten opponent does not eclipse 20 points on us. We've kept everybody under 20 except for Wisconsin, which I believe that was, 23 or 24? Defense is an all-time defense for Phil Parker and the Hawkeyes. And it's great to have. Would like to have one of those better offenses statistically to put it together. Obviously, it's never good enough for anyone. Like, you'd love to have the best defense and the best offense in the country. It's just not going to happen. But man, that defense has helped us out a lot this year, and we got one more game left on the schedule before they decide where we're going for a bowl game. So any closing thoughts on this week moving into next week for any of you or for either of you guys?
No, I'm good.
Can we talk about Stanley's post game interview?
Oh yeah, for sure. Go for it.
Made me sad.
Got a little dusty.
Made me sad. That's all I got to say. Made me sad. No, man, he hit it right on the head. It's just like a blink of the eye, and you know, it goes by you, and you invest so much into it, and when it's you never really. I mean, you obviously know it's going to come to an end, but you never really believe it. And the emotion of walking off of Kinnick for the last time, it's hard. It's you know, I'm glad that they got a win. That's awesome that they got to go out of Kinnick with a win. But at the same time, man, those are some of the best memories in your entire life of playing in front of the hometown crowd with all your boys and just knowing that you're not going to get that chance again. So they got two more games with this group of this group of players, and he said that, you know what, we don't have a lot of time left, but we're gonna make every last minute count. So, man, I love Nate. He's a phenomenal leader. I love him for how much he loves the game, how much he loves this program. I just want to see him. I just want to see these boys, you know, beat the shit out of Nebraska next week and go and win a bowl game and finish this season on a high note, man. That's all I got.
That would be great.
I'm with it, man. Watching Nate get choked up, that's a soldier. So you know it means a lot if that guy's shedding tears.
Yeah. I don't think I ever saw him cry.
No way.
Or really waver at all emotionally. And when it hits someone like that and you see it come out finally, kind of lets you know. Kind of helps other people realize, like, damn, it's like really that kind of a special thing. And obviously that's what we're trying to portray and bring to this podcast each and every week. As mentioned a couple times already tonight, in about 5 days from now, the Hawks will take on the Cornhuskers.
And we actually got a pretty cool podcast coming up because we have a special guest on the next week's episode. I guess it'll come out on Thursday, Kluver.
If we record it on Wednesday, yeah, then it'll come out on Thursday.
Yeah. So we'll have a guy coming in from Nebraska, one of a buddy of Kevin and I's, Kluver. I'm not sure that you ever met him. No. But he's good people, and I think he's going to bring a pretty cool perspective on the rivalry, and we'll get to talk about the unique differences in the rivalries between the programs and things like that. So I think it'll be a pretty cool episode.
I agree. That is all we have. Pretty straightforward podcast. Nice 30 minutes. Hopefully your Monday is a little bit better because you listen to us. If you do love us, give us that review. 5 stars. Nice little rating and review on the whatever platform you listen to us on. Helps us out a great deal. Little Birdie told me that we got some extra shirts made just for those a few special giveaways we're going to be doing. And if you leave a rating and review, we might choose yours to read on the podcast, and you might win a shirt for that. So if you're interested, go do that. That's it for us. We'll be back with that special episode later this week. Hawks by a million.
100 times 1,000 times another 10, I believe.
I think your math is right. You got there in the end. Okay. That's Hawks by a million. Bozos, washed up walk-ons.
I'm MJ Acosta-Ruiz.
And I'm Lindsay Zarniak.
And together we'll be hosting the On Her Turf podcast. This summer, On Her Turf is hosting a daily Olympics podcast
that focuses exclusively on women's sports and the amazing women competing in Tokyo.
We'll bring you interviews with Olympians and in-depth analysis on your favorite teams.
Plus, we're going to talk about some of the challenges still facing women's sports today.
So join us daily at On Her Turf as we cover all the excitement of the Tokyo Olympics.
Be sure to check us out on Apple Podcasts, and be sure to follow On Her Turf on Twitter and Instagram too.